From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Vampires with Michelle Ballanger. Get ready for that one. Well, here's some of the stories of the day. The head of the National Counterterrorism Center is speaking out on Al-Qaeda's plans, our readiness in the nature of the war on terror. He says that Al-Qaeda has an active plot to hit the West. The United States knows about it, but doesn't have enough tactical detail to issue a precise warning to raise the threat level. This, according to Vice Admiral John Scott Redd, who heads the government's National Counterterrorism Center. In a moment, author Paul Williams joins us to react to that story. President George W. Bush has warned Iran to stop supporting the militants fighting against the U.S. in Iraq. In a speech to U.S. war veterans in Reno, Mr. Bush renewed charges that Tehran has provided training and weapons for extremists in Iraq. Well, police were called to actor Owen Wilson's home because of an apparent attempted suicide report, according to police logs. The log doesn't indicate who made the call on Sunday, but lists attempted suicide as the reason for the call. Wilson in good condition at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. Wilson had two movies in production and had two more upcoming releases to help promote. He's a comedian and a darn good one. And let's just hope everything's okay with Owen. People have their own demons, and they need to fight them the best way they can. U.S. home prices fell 3.2% in the second quarter, the steepest rate of decline since the Standard & Poor's began its nationwide housing index in 1987. The decline in home prices around the nation shows no evidence of a market recovery anytime soon. Well, you know, it's commonly held belief that Jupiter shields us from comets or asteroids that might otherwise hit us. This idea is based on a 1994 study that looked at comets originating from outside our solar system. Well, new research now presented at the European Planetary Science Congress has looked at the effect of Jupiter on comets already within our solar system. And it seems that while Jupiter does deflect some comets away from us, it sends most, as many comets, they say, towards us. So who knows what's going to happen? A Chinese wife has cut her husband's right hand off because of his internet addiction. He promised his wife that he would not go on the internet anymore and would spend more time at home to take care of their newborn son. But after a short time, he started to sneak into a nearby internet cafe to have video chats with girls. He says, "I was on the internet and suddenly I felt a numbness in my right hand. The arrow on the screen stopped moving." He says, "Then I found out that my right hand was cut off. The mouse pad was just sitting there." How strange is that? In court, the husband pleaded with the judge to release his wife since he was to blame for breaking his promise. In a moment, Paul Williams joins us. We're going to get an update from him and his reaction to this story about Al-Qaeda working very heavily on doing something to us. Paul Williams next on Coast to Coast AM. Paul Williams, PhD, has served as a consultant for the FBI, editor-publisher of the Metro in Scranton, Pennsylvania, adjunct professor of humanities at the University of Scranton. He has authored more than 20 books, his latest being The Day of Islam. We're going to keep Paul this entire hour. We'll open up the phone lines a little bit later on to get his reaction to this story of the head of the government's National Counterterrorism Center. Paul, this feeling from him and so many other people that Al-Qaeda is working on some major plan for us, though it appears we're not prepared to release the information, or maybe we don't have it. What do you hear in your inner circles?
Well, George, Robert Mueller, let's just cut to the end of June. He informed everybody what this was all about. He said that the American people should prepare for a nuclear attack from Al-Qaeda. This was at the end of June. He held a press conference in Miami, and he stated that unequivocally. So Homeland Security, several weeks later, spoke about a spectacular attack from Al-Qaeda. And Michael Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, said that he had a terrible feeling in the pit of his stomach. But it all came from this verification of the nuclear intent of Al-Qaeda.
Paul, in this particular case here with the Vice Admiral, retired John Scott Redd, talking about this specifically as well, are you hearing any specific chatter through some of your sources?
Well, I talked to, for instance, one of my sources is Hamid Mir, and he is the official biographer of Osama bin Laden.
Right.
He is the only one who has interviewed bin Laden in the wake of 9/11 and Zawahiri. He's a Pakistani, and I've been in constant contact with him. And he has verified by his own research that at least three nuclear devices have been forward deployed, one from Italy to the United States for the American Hiroshima.
And do we have any idea where this stuff is?
Oh, sure, George. The material, I believe, and Mir believes, and he's Islamic, that the material is being kept in either Jamaat al-Fukra compound, and there are many compounds throughout the country, or within a radical mosque. And there are, you know, like the mosques that are in the country, in this country, over 80% of them have been established and supported by Wahhabis from Saudi Arabia.
Okay, so why don't, with our incredible means of testing for radioactive material, Paul, why don't we simply storm these places and get what we need to get?
Well, there are two questions there, George. One, Richard Wagner, who's in charge of the National Laboratory at Los Alamos, said that we do not have the equipment that you're alluding to, equipment that would be able to detect a tactical nuclear device within a mosque. We don't have that capability. We have the capability of detecting a radiological substance like cesium or cobalt or polonium, like the substance that killed Litvinenko, but not a tactical nuclear weapon, something that is composed of plutonium or highly enriched uranium. We don't have that. But secondly, the second part of your question is, we have never, President Bush has never secured a declaration of war. Matter of fact, he has never even defined the enemy. So Congress has not been called upon to issue an official declaration of war. And for that reason, the Smith Act and the Voorhees Act and the National Defense Act of 1940 have never been brought into play. If they had been brought into play, the borders would have been secured. These mosques would be certainly open for FBI in inspection, and law enforcement officials would be able to ferret out the problem. But right now, we can't do that because, once again, the administration has failed to obtain a declaration of war.
Paul, you and I have been talking for some time about the possibilities that seven American cities could get hit. Are you backing down on that? Because some of the deadlines, and you thought it could have happened some time ago. Are you backing down on that at all?
Well, you know, I thought, George, when I originally spoke with you, I thought it would have occurred by the end of 2005. And so did Graham Allison, the director of the Belfer Center at Harvard University. He was a real counterterrorism, nuclear terrorism specialist. But the fact is that these people have the weapons within the United States, and they're capable of detonating these weapons at any time. Time is playing in their hands. They're winning the war on terror. They're winning in Afghanistan. All of southern Afghanistan right now, as we're speaking, is in control, is under Taliban control. Four provinces of Pakistan have been placed under the control of the Taliban. The Taliban is resurgent largely because of support that they're receiving from Iran. And you see what's happening in Iraq. The very first stipulation of the new constitution is Sharia law is imposed on all the citizens, with the result right now in Syria there are over 300,000 Christian refugees because Christians are being persecuted as never before in Iraq. So they're winning the war on terror. Right here in the United States, when I first started to investigate the problem of radical Islam and the fact that 1,400 mosque at that time had been established by the Wahhabis. This is going back in 2001, and that 80. I thought that those statistics were alarming. Well, right now there are over 6,400 mosques throughout the country, and 90% of them are funded by Wahhabis from Saudi Arabia. So the problem is escalating, and Jamaat al-Fukra, which conducts paramilitary training on American soil at places like Islamburg and Red House and Commerce, Georgia. In the beginning, when I started going to these places and investigating that situation, I believe there were only 12 such compounds in the United States where people were actually training, Muslims were actually training on American soil for the jihad, where there were actual firing ranges there and landing strips and obstacle courses and underground bunkers. I could document 2001, 12. Right now, George, there are over 64 and counting.
64.
And counting. In Commerce, Georgia, right now, where I'm doing a documentary with ABC News, they have photographed, and in Macon, Georgia, there was one Jamaat al-Fukra compound that I knew about. Well, since the investigation has initiated in that area, we have managed to locate at least six just in that one area of Georgia. In Southern Virginia, the same thing. In Red House, I believe there was just one compound, but there are compounds stretching from Red House, Virginia, to Lynchburg, Virginia, all the way to Raleigh. So, I mean, this problem of, and they are training, once again, the people who are on these compounds are not only Muslims, but the overwhelming majority of them are African Americans who have been converted to Islam from the prison system. So when they're firing on these firing ranges, and handed semi-automatic weapons, the people receiving these weapons and receiving this training are felons. So, I mean, the fact that the law enforcement officials are not going in to arrest these jokers is mind-boggling. You know, when I spoke to the head of the HOSTRA, the congressman in charge of the intelligence committee, the House Intelligence Committee, and I told him what was going on in Commerce, Georgia, and he said, "Oh," and I said, "We have photographs of the compounds being built, the underground bunkers," and he said, "Oh, they couldn't really be building these bunkers because I don't think they could get building permits."
Building. Okay.
That's the truth. That's the Intelligence Committee.
What do you say to some, because there are some out there, who will say that the war on terror is a bunch of bunk, it's just hype to get us to go into Iran, it's warmongering, it's not true, and that we're being used constantly to stay on edge? What do you tell people like that?
Well, one thing that if they really believe that, I would tell them to just go to the sites that I have investigated. I just go to the internet now, and I wrote one article in May called "Springtime at Islamburg." There, it's photographed. I photographed everything that was taking place there. In the belly of the beast, I just wrote another article for Newsmax, and I filled it with photographs of the compounds, where the compounds are. Jamaat al-Fukra, the group that I'm talking about, has conducted over 40 terrorist attacks on American soil. That's a group that's responsible for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. John Allen Muhammad, the Beltway sniper, was affiliated with Jamaat al-Fukra. Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, was affiliated with Jamaat al-Fukra. Daniel Pearl, when he was in Pakistan, was beheaded and kidnapped by members of Jamaat al-Fukra. This is not a nice group. This is a terrorist group. It operates on American soil as a tax-exempt, nonprofit corporation called the Muslims of the Americas.
And this doesn't make any sense, Paul.
What's that?
It doesn't make any sense that we would permit, if this is true, this group to conduct their affairs without any kind of assault on them.
Well, it's, it, let me tell you, it even goes deeper than that. With the residence, for instance, in Islamburg, which is located between Hancock and Deposit, New York, and at the foot of the Catskills, George, it's really far out into the woods. I've been there numerous times, and every time I've had a problem relocating it.
It's a 70-acre complex, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, and it's right at the one, the eastern perimeter of the property is, if you go there, you will see a reservoir, a state reservoir that feeds New York City. But in any case, it's very deep in the woods. The neighbors have complained about the rat-tat-tat of semiotic automatic weapons going off night and day. They're terrorized up there. They have complained to local law enforcement officials, to Homeland Security, and to the FBI. The FBI finally went up there to Islamburg, but not to investigate the fact that felons are up there preparing for the jihad. They went up there in the spirit of political correctness to participate in a halal picnic, where they sat down with these very people, these terrorists, this group that has been responsible, as I said before, responsible for more than 40 terrorist attacks throughout the United States. The same people who were responsible for blowing up the World Trade Center. They sat down and had a picnic with them. And if you go to the sites I alluded to, you'll see pictures of the FBI sitting down at the picnic table with these guys.
Well, I got to tell you, Paul, so in your opinion, and you know, I don't want to get people all riled up for nothing, but in your opinion, do you expect something to happen and happen shortly?
Well, if people don't believe let's go to 2000, right before 9/11, and 2001, there were Al Qaeda. Just look at this one group, Al Qaeda. Throughout the world, in 2001, they were responsible for 114 attacks. George, this year, 2006 to 2007, to this very day, Al-Qaeda has been responsible for over 1,400 attacks. Look what's happening in France. Look what's happening in Spain. Look what's happening in Russia. Every place throughout the world where there is an occurrence of violence, radical Islam, every single place, radical Islam is at the heart of it. And people tell you that there's not a problem with radical Islam, and that it's all some type of fantasy concocted by federal bureaucrats. If they're saying that, then they're crazy.
Well, Paul, I'm going to keep you for phone calls. Where can people get information on what you do and where you post?
They can call the George Norrie Show.
Thanks.
But when I appear on your show, and you got to realize I'm one of your compatriots, Michael Savage, who's a dear friend of mine, said that I'm probably one of the most dangerous people in America. When I appeared on your show, speaking about McMaster University, I ended up being sued for, I think, $20 million in Canada under Canadian law. But once again, I just don't go away. There were three fatwas on my, you know, from Jamaat al-Fukra. On my life, and so therefore I don't have a website, or you know, I write for different news
organizations. Outlets,
but I really try to maintain, for my family's sake, as low of a profile as I can.
Why do you do what you do,
George? If you get the information, I'm a reporter. That's all I am. I'm not a counterterrorism expert. I'm only a reporter. I was trained to do research. I was trained, my background is in comparative religions, Islam. I studied the philosophy of Averroes and Avicenna. That's where I came from, and I was a journalist. Once you find or discover by doing investigations, and you get the information that I obtained, and this information is verified by everybody, then what can you do with it? You have to proclaim it wherever you go. You have to accept every speaking engagement that you're offered. Because if you're not going to do that, how could you consider yourself an American or a journalist or a Christian or anything else?
Paul, stick around. We're going to keep you for phone calls for the final half hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Paul Williams just may be an American hero. We'll take his calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Paul, why does it appear that we just aren't doing the job to go after Osama bin Laden? We had a report that he was very close to him back in 2004, 2005. Some people are speculating that we know exactly where he is now. Why don't we go in with full force and do what we have to do there?
In 2001, George, when I started investigating this the story of Al Qaeda and the American Hiroshima, I went to the Soldier of Fortune convention in Las Vegas, and every paramilitary official there, and they're mercenaries, as you know, whether they were from China or from South Africa or from Great Britain or South America, they all knew where Osama bin Laden was. And they all believed that since Tora Bora in December of 2001, that he was holed up in Deer in the northwest frontier province of Pakistan. And by all accounts, he's still there. As a matter of fact, there are night letters that are circulated throughout the tribal areas in which his photograph appears on a regular basis. Hamid Mir confirmed that to me as well. But Deer is a tribal area. It does not fall under the jurisdiction of the Musharraf government. And if we try to go in there to take out bin Laden or to ferret out all the al-Qaeda operatives there, the Musharraf government, of course, would topple. The mullahs would probably take control of Pakistan, and we would have a nightmare of cataclysmic proportion on our hands, because these guys have 68 strategic nuclear weapons.
So you're saying, I guess, if Musharraf's government topples, that's worse than going in to try to get the bin Laden?
I think that the Bush administration realizes that. I mean, they're walking on an eggshell in Pakistan. And just the any type of anything that would be construed as an invasion of Pakistan would unite all the radicals within Pakistan, all of the mullahs, in one movement against Musharraf and against the Pakistan's alliance with the U.S.
Paul, does this administration really know what's going on?
Look at what's. Yeah, I think that they do. I think they know what's going on, but I don't think that they have the resolve to address it. For instance, in the wake of Operation Enduring Freedom, what did our troops find in the caves of Kandahar, and what did they find at Ternak Farm on the outskirts of Kandahar as well? They found jar after jar after jar of highly enriched uranium in the form of yellow cake. Every one of those jars, each one of those jars, was worth about $10 to $12 million, and they were just left behind, along with canisters of uranium-238. I mean, these things were just left behind. And I think that the Bush administration is keenly aware of the threat from al-Qaeda. George Bush has said the gravest threat facing the American people is nuclear terrorism from al-Qaeda. Dick Cheney said that a nuclear attack from al-Qaeda is imminent. So they can't issue more of a warning than that.
Yeah, but the majority of the Americans, if you went out to ask them today, Paul, they don't believe this administration. They definitely don't believe Dick Cheney.
Well, for good, there's a reason they don't believe them, because they are boneheaded. I think they realize that the problem, once again, I don't know how that, as I said before, I don't believe they know how to address it. For instance, like the situation now in Iraq, which has only given rise, once again, to this so-called democracy that our guys are fighting for, which ends up really that they're fighting for an Islamic theocracy, because Sharia has been imposed upon all the people. And the second thing that the government did, besides after imposing Sharia on all the residents, Christian, Muslim alike, was to form an alliance with Iran. So we're there in Iraq doing everything wrong. So they're aware of the problem, but they don't know how to address it.
You know, and here we are. We go into Afghanistan, October of 2001. We throw out the Taliban.
That's another thing, George. In Afghanistan right now, the fields are red with poppies.
I was just going to say that. Record harvests,
exactly.
Paul. while we're there.
While we're there, underneath the noses of our troops, the best troops in the world, are fields and fields and fields, hundreds of thousands of acres of poppies. Afghanistan produces no industrial product. Afghanistan has no crops of any kind. Their sole economy rests with the poppy. Those poppies are refined into number four heroin. That heroin is sold throughout the world, including it's a drug of choice in the United States, and it results in a $100 billion enterprise.
Paul, there's something rotten here. I'm telling you, there's something else going on there.
Right. And if you wanted to stop the jihad, George, like you're just saying, all you need to do is firebomb the fields.
That's it. Simple as that.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Paul Williams on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. I'm Renee from Tucson, and it's my firm belief. Hi, Paul. Hi, George.
Hey, Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Thanks.
I have this horrible feeling that our government knows exactly what's going on. The first thing I would have done is close the border. Here in Tucson, after 9/11, there's been a massive a tsunami wave of illegal aliens, and I worked closely with this issue. The judging just by the 20,000 pounds of trash that they leave behind, 3 million a year are crossing, and that's, I get my statistics from really from California population control and working closely with people who are involved in border protection. It appears that 7% of that is Islamic crossers, and they are disguising themselves as Mexicans. And we know they're here, and nobody's doing anything about it. I think that what they're doing is tearing America apart for the one world order.
Well, you know, Renee, you may be right, and, you know, I don't even think they have to pose as people from Mexico. They can simply come through illegally on the border. Paul, she's absolutely right. They're not stopping that either.
Well, not only that, Renee, but you got to realize that many Latinos, including the inhabitants of countries like Guyana and Suriname, have converted en masse to Islam. Suriname right now is an Islamic country. And people assume that everybody crossing the border is a Roman Catholic. I mean, that's nonsense. Once again, like even among the indigenous tribes in Mexico, there's a huge, huge, huge amount that are converting to Islam.
But you don't hate Islam, Paul, do you?
No, of course not. I hate radical Islam. I hate all the manifestations of radical Islam. But I have friends that I dearly love who are, and I hate the fact that all Arabs right now are being portrayed as you know, like radical Islamists. I mean, that's certain. I mean, the greatest people in the world, my best friends are Arabic. I grew up in an Arabic neighborhood, and no, quite to the contrary. But I do think, conversely, that radical Islam is like, as I said before, when every incident throughout the world in which blood, every time blood is being spilled right now throughout the world, you have one common denominator, and that's radical Islam, and that problem has to be addressed.
I flew from San Jose to St. Louis this weekend, and as I went through the security gate and then the detectors, they stopped some guy who was a couple of people behind me. An old man, Paul, I kid you not, in a neck brace. The guy could barely move. They had him out of line. They were checking him. They were dusting down his shoes. They were doing everything they could to check him out. They wrapped him up and said, thank you, sir, after they were done. Now, isn't that ridiculous?
It's totally ridiculous. And it's also ridiculous that we have this problem, and like we're talking within the prison systems, within the mosque, within Islamic centers, that we cannot go in there and address that problem like we did in times when America was in peril. Right now, we're just incapable. We don't have the stomach. We don't have the resolve. Declare who the enemy, George. You know, George Bush said that we're at war on terror. You cannot be at war with a word. We're at war with everyone that signed that 1998 declaration of war against us. That includes Al-Qaeda, the Moral Liberation Group, Hamas, Hezbollah, every Islamic terrorist group that penned, that signed, placed ink to that document, we're at war with.
You know, you bring your troops back, you put them on the borders, you go into some of these areas that we suspect are training terrorists within our own country, and we do what we need to do. But we're not. Nobody's got the stomach. You're right. Nobody has the stomach for that.
Well, it even goes deeper than that. You have places like the Farouk Mosque in Brooklyn. Well, like I said, right now that you have so many radical mosques throughout this country. But the Farouk Mosque, just one example of, like I said, the 6,400 radical mosques throughout this land right now. This one mosque has raised $24 million for Al-Qaeda. This one mosque has sheltered Al-Qaeda operatives. This one mosque stores weapons. We talk about the Red Mosque in Pakistan as being a place where they store weapons, and Americans were horrified. Well, guess what? In Brooklyn, New York, and this is just one case among thousands of others, arms are stored. On Saturday morning, you can see them withdraw the arms from this mosque and go to firing ranges.
First-time caller.
That is allowed, and jeez, that is the problem.
All right, first-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening. I mean, good morning, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is James from Midway Park, North Carolina.
Hi, James.
Yeah, okay. Did it ever occur to you that during the first Gulf War, that when that president and the following president, when they mentioned about bringing in the New World Order, that they're the ones who first started bringing these people in here under the guise of United Nations military, and they've been training on our closed military bases, then dispersing into our citizenry all around the country. And that's how they first started bringing those these enemy or whatever name they want to call themselves. Yes, our government knows they're here. They're the people they're going to use to try to disarm the American people.
Oh, Paul, give me your reaction. I've never asked you this question, and that is, do you believe that there are some people within government who would love to see this new world order, this one world government, this total omnipotent control over all of us?
I don't think I'm going to sound like a nut, George, and I don't mean to be a conspiracy theorist, or you know, and I'm not. I'm a reporter, but do I believe that's a point of fact? I mean, of course I believe that.
Yeah, you know, and I do too.
I mean, I'm being tried in Canada under Canadian law, for heaven's sake. I've lost my freedom of the press as a reporter. I've lost my freedom of speech. So if you talk about the new world order, look at me. Look at what I have lost everything I have just for telling the truth. And that, you know, and at McMaster University came to me and they said, Williams, if you sign this document, you know, we'll withdraw the lawsuit in Canada. But I said, look, I told the truth, and here I stand. And because I did that, you know, like I said, all my rights have been stripped away, and all my assets are, guess what, accessible to these people in Canada.
If you lose.
The new world order.
Yeah.
So how could I say I don't believe it? I'm a victim of it.
Well, how can you lose, though? I mean, you had names, dates.
I have no rights, George. I have no rights. I'm being tried in Canada. Get this. Under Canadian law, their libel laws are radically different from ours. Truth is not even an ultimate defense there. Everything I said on your program is true, and I stand by it. Because I'm standing on taking that stance, and I'm just an individual. They can crush me like a bug, and they know that, because they have, of course, unlimited resources. But I'd hate to tell you what it cost me so far. I've lost everything.
Oh my God, Paul! I didn't know that.
Yeah. But George, I'm not crying about that. You know, I'm glad that in this day and age that I'm old and mean enough to do that, and that. But you're talking about on your program when you talk. I love Coast to Coast because you're talking about not a threat, but you're talking about a reality.
Well, and somebody has to talk about it, Paul. Somebody's got to get this out to people to wake up. before it's too late.
It's going to happen to them. The, you know, like even on your airwaves right now, you could be tried if people in Canada, a CARE or some organization, didn't like what they heard on your program and it was being broadcast in Canada or Mexico.
Well, we are broadcasting. We are.
I know you are. I know you are. But you could be tried in Mexico under Mexican law and Canada under Canadian law because of something called NAFTA, and that's true. And I'm the first victim of that.
Well, keep the good fight. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, please.
George?
Yes, sir.
Yes. We go to a church, and we have some people from the Mideast there, real nice people, beautiful children. However, I got a little concerned when they went away for 2 weeks to a retreat, they said. When they came back, the children totally changed their attitude.
Mm.
They were talking about putting on big coats, going boom. And they were told that if they don't follow the orders of Allah, that he'll turn them into rats. And it really concerned me that what are these kids doing in these compounds or these retreats are going to? What are they teaching them?
What kind of retreat was this, Paul?
This is a retreat up in somewhere up in Pennsylvania. They were gone for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, you see, there is a problem. There's a problem at the very core of Islam. When the Muhammad lived as a bandit, he raided caravans, and one afternoon he was responsible for a heinous act of genocide in which 700 Jews were slaughtered. He ordered assassinations and murders, but the religion from the very outburst of it in the 7th century was an outburst of violence. It spread throughout the Arabian Peninsula, throughout northern Africa, throughout Cyprus and Italy, Spain, up through the Pyrenees, until these Islamic forces were driven back by Charles Martel at the Battle of Tours. They were driven back, and then they came at the west again. They conquered Jerusalem, most of a geographical area called Anatolia, and they pressed toward Constantinople, and that initiated the Crusades. At the end of the Crusades, they came at the west again, and they were stopped at the gates of Vienna by the great Polish king, John Zabriskie. But I'm saying all this, and throughout the Ottoman years, it was the same. This is nothing new. The religion has a problem with violence. It was violent from the get-go, and nothing has changed. It goes back, once again, to the 7th century. It goes back to the writings in the Quran.
Well, maybe we can hope one day, Paul, that the good people within that religion, start standing up and saying, enough is enough.
Enough, yeah, and there are good people in that religion. There are people I dearly love in that religion.
Paul, thanks for being on the program. Continue the good fight. If there's anything else we can do for you, feel free to call.
Well, George, you do, you know, I have to salute you because this is, your program is incredibly important because this is a place where Americans can get the truth and where a conversation like this can take place, you know, and such forums are rare right now. And I certainly appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Paul Williams. And of course, with the program, we've got a little bit of everything for everybody because in just a moment, a special guest as we talk about vampires right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, that's George at coasttocoastam.com. I'll be right back.